and going into the book of Romans. We're in the 7th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. I think I had 15th verse in the bulletin, but we're going to back up one to the 14th verse, and we're going to go through the end of the chapter. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is in my mind that I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house to worship you. Thank you for your word that we can hold in our hands and read in our tongue. Thank you for your spirit that you have poured out through each and every one of us. We pray that your spirit illuminates this word so that it may land on our hearts and bear fruit, inspiring us to go into the world and be your chosen people. All this we lift up in the powerful name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we all say, amen. You know, I was in high school in West Texas, and they called us into the cafeteria, and we sat there, and they told us that we were all going to join a society. I had no idea at that time. You know, to me, society kind of was a little bit, society? I thought, it's like, this isn't a government class. You know, I understand the government nature of society. And so they proceeded to talk about this society. And before they really got too much into what it was all about, they gave away the name. And because of who I was at the time, I was like, I don't think that that's right. Because you see, the society that they made us all members of, we didn't get a choice, was the Flat Earth Society. And I knew that there was that the Earth was round. I mean, I kind of figured, haven't we solved this equation? I mean, I've seen the pictures from space. I've flown over the country. I can tell you, even when you get up a couple of thousand feet up, you still can't see that far over the horizon. You know, there's an end. But I know that if you keep going, there's still Earth on the other side. And I'm like, so why, you know, and I almost wanted to go, I don't get it. Why are we joining this society that I think, wasn't that what Christopher Columbus, you know? I mean, because they even taught us that, you know, they thought he had sailed over the edge of the world and he sailed over the edge of the world and found us. You know, and I wanted to say, you know, aren't we on the edge of the world from what they thought was flat earth? You know, we are that part that they never thought about. But as they started explaining this, the Flat Earth Society is really a society of people that acknowledge the fact that they do things that they know they shouldn't do in the presence of overwhelming evidence to the contrary. Because you see, when people believed that the Earth was flat, the Greeks had already determined that the Earth was round, and that had been common knowledge for several thousand years. But there were still those few holdouts. They wanted to say, well, we aren't from Greece, so we're not going to believe what those Greeks believe. We're from Texas. No, I'm just kidding. And so, because, I mean, I thought that it was like, you know, okay, they're trying to tell us that, you know, you grow up in Texas, you believe that there's nothing outside the state of Texas except Yankees. And but they went on and they talked about this society being, you know, there are things that we do in our lives where we have overwhelming evidence to the contrary, but yet we still do it. And they talked about things, and as I look back on it, I think this was a clever way of introducing us to not doing the things that we still try to teach high school kids not to do, which is don't smoke, don't drink, don't do drugs, wear your seatbelt. There was no texting and driving back then. You know, it was probably no typing and driving back when I was in high school. But they were talking about, you know, we do these things, and we know that we shouldn't do them. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm not going to ask for examples, but I could almost say that every one of you would agree that you all have something in your life that you do that you know is not good because the evidence for against it is so overwhelming that, you know, you would say, well, I know I shouldn't do this. But then again, you're like, man, does bacon taste good? You know, And as I'm reading the scripture passage for today, I'm thinking about that Flat Earth Society. I actually went to try and look because I got a beautiful little membership card, and I don't know where that membership card went to. I kept it in my wallet for many years because I thought it was a bit of a joke. I could go to my friends and say, hey, look, I'm in the Flat Earth Society. And they'd be like, well, isn't the earth round? And they're like, we thought you were crazy, but now you have a card. But as I look back on it, I realize that we do that. And we have all those things in our lives. And Paul is wrestling with this as he's writing his letter. And I want you to think about this. If you thought the scripture passage that I read was a bit confusing, I want you to think about Paul was dictating to a scribe. And he's talking. And there's a bit of a circular nature. It's a bit of a swirling in this argument. Because he's talking about and he's wrestling with it. But also, in the backstory, Paul is a relatively new Christian. I would say there's a lot of folks in here today that have been Christians longer than Paul was when he wrote this letter to the church. So he was still wrestling with this whole juxtaposition because he was a very good Jew. He was a Jew that I think every Jewish mama could be proud of. He obeyed the law. He knew what that was. He was a zealot. He went after people who broke the law. And then here he comes into and he comes into the presence of Jesus Christ. And now he has this new rebirth. And now he's wrestling with this whole fact of, you know, I tried to obey the law, but I couldn't. And I realized that I probably wasn't good enough. And so now I'm still trying to wrestle with this law that I am told that I should do. And I know that I should do it, but I don't do it. And then, and I love this, because one of the reasons why I love this scripture passage is because I can go to it. If you ever to come up to me and go, Pastor, you sinned. You know, I could almost get away with saying the devil made me do it because that's what Paul told me. Because in this scripture passage, he says, you know, it's not me that does it. You know, it's not Paul that does it. It's sin. You know, sin made me do it. But I don't think he is trying to give us that particular out. I think he's wrestling with this whole deal of being a follower of Jesus Christ and knowing what you should do and knowing what is good and what should be done. And you know you do the wrong things. And when you realize you do the wrong things, you start beating yourself up over it. You want to have a cop out and say, well, sin made me do it. But I don't think you can go to God with that. I don't think you can stand before God and go, my bad. That was sin. Sin made me do it. I don't think God's going to buy that. And then he gets to the point of it where he talks about, you know, that this whole thing could get me to a point to where I just despair and lose all hope. And then he stops and he says, however, and then he says, through Christ Jesus. Wow. Because don't we do this? I mean, I do this. I will tell you that the closer you get to the gospel, the more it hurts. And I'm not using that to try and scare people who haven't gotten close to the gospel away from it. But I would say the closer you get to doing what God has called you to do, the more you will realize and recognize those times when you don't do what God has told you not to do. You know, there will be those times when you say, I know I should do this, but I'm not going to do it because I want to do that. You know, think about it in those terms for 1 second. Because knowing you, when you know you should do something, then that is the Spirit working on you to say, yes, this is what you should do. But when you say, but I want to do that, that is the flesh working on you. It's kind of like that Flat Earth Society. If you know that eating bacon 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year is bad for you, but then you want to do it because bacon tastes so good, well, guess what happened? You know, your mind has lost the battle between your flesh. And that's how it is when we approach what we should be as followers of Jesus Christ. You know, and I'd be one that can't stand up here and talk about this. You know, I'm not going to point out others' faults without pointing out my own. Because I do believe that to stand up here and talk about those times when we fall short, I think I have to talk about them too. I can't stand up here and say that I've got all that in a bag of chips, because I guarantee you, if you were to find that bag of chips, they would all be crumbled and would be stale. Because I am not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I know that there are times when I have done things that when I look back on them, I go, man, did I miss the boat on that one? There are times when I just thought that I had it all there and I knew what I was supposed to be doing. But then I come back and go, no, that wasn't my thinking that was doing it. That was the sinful side of me that was doing it. And boy, did I mess up. I bet you can all think about things like that, right? Because I know that there are times when it has been, God has convicted me to the point to where I've had to pick up the phone and call somebody and say, man, I am sorry. I totally missed it. Or as happened to me this week, I actually hung up the phone after I said something to somebody and God convicted me to where I knew that I had said the wrong thing and I didn't even call them back. I got in my van and I drove to them. So I know what it's like. But I also know that that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to be convicted. Because when I did what God wanted me to do in that moment, when I arrived at where I said that I wasn't coming, but then I arrived there, I was at a point that God was able to work in and through and around me and all those that were gathered there, and His glory was manifest when my flesh said I should probably do something different. And sometimes we forget that we think, well, okay, I made that decision and I can let it go. No, if God convicts you and says you need to make that right, guess what you should probably do? You should go and make it right. Because Paul is wrestling with this and we wrestle with this as believers. You know, I titled today's message, Mind Over Matter. Because sometimes we make things matter that shouldn't matter. We make things important that shouldn't be important. Our mind, the Spirit is working on us and showing us. There are times when the Spirit's screaming at us, hitting over the back of the head with that 2x4, going, you need to do this. And yet we let the matter become more important. We like to think that we know what's good, but then God is like, no, I don't think you get it. Sometimes we don't want to be wrong. How many of you have ever been in that situation? Ooh. I know people that haven't talked to other people for 20 years because they believe that they were right when actually they were wrong. You know, there's that whole saying about the truth doesn't need defending. Well, sometimes we try to defend things that ain't the truth when the truth is right up here and God is putting that into our minds and telling us that we should go do it. God is tugging on our souls and saying that we should go do it. And Paul talks about the law. So let me break it down. I'm going to break it down and, you know, it's very simple. I've got to make this very easy. Because Jesus gave us 2 commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. So I'm not going to get into the other 600 and some odd laws that are in the Old Testament. Jesus gave us two. And actually, he kind of, you know, went and said, you know, put the emphasis on the right syllable, because he put a focus on love your neighbor as yourself. So when you think about the law that we are to uphold, let's just focus on that law for a minute. Love your neighbor as yourself. How often do we get in a situation where we think we've done the right thing, but when you look back on it, you haven't loved your neighbor as yourself? You know, a good one is we love to go up to people and say, you know, I love you, but. Think about it. Because basically what we've said is, please disregard everything that I have said before the but, because I'm getting to the point of really why I've come to talk to you after the but. So you come up and you say, man, I love you, brother, but. And then you go into that. Think about that for a second. Is that really what God has called us to do? Why can't we just, maybe we should just focus on leaving it there? Because that's what you should do. You know, we should go up to our brothers and sisters and say, you know, I love you. And you know why we have to say I love them? Because God loves them. God loves you, right? So if God loves you, God loves them. And you should just go, man, I love you. And I love you because God loves you. And you could just leave it at that and walk away. How awesome would that be if that's all we did to folks? Man, I love you because God loves you. Let's have lunch sometime. Or you know, let's just sit down and chat instead of going and say, man, I love you, but, you know, could you not wear that perfume in church next week? Because that is not what Jesus commanded, right? He wanted us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Would you want somebody coming up and criticizing you for everything you do? You know, when it comes to showing up, I'm just focusing on church on Sunday. I mean, I could go into when we have covered dishes, dinners over there, and this, that, and the other. We love to say, man, that was really good, but, you know, I wouldn't have put chickpeas in the salad. You know, but we even get more into that where we go up to folks and say, you know, I love you, but because you do this, I'm not going to love you. But I guarantee you, if they knew the skeletons in your closet, they would be able to say the same thing to you. Amen? You know, and that's what Paul is wrestling with. I can see Paul, this going through Paul's mind, where he's going, you know, I know I should do it, but then I do this stuff. And you notice he doesn't tell us what that stuff is that he does. You know, he doesn't really get into it in his letters. He doesn't really give us the key of, you know, he talks about this thorn in his flesh. You know, you remember that passage? And people debated for centuries over what that thorn is. Because I think he wants to kind of stop short because he knows, well, I've kind of pointed my finger at you. I don't want to give you a reason to point your finger at me. But I'm going to say how I deal with this. Because I know that we all have those sins that we just think can't be shaken. We all have those sins that we just think can't be forgiven. We all have those times when we've fallen short and we kick ourselves because we don't have the opportunity anymore to make it right. We have those situations in our lives. I have those. There are things that I have left unsaid or undone, or things that I have left said and I didn't undo them, and now I don't have the opportunity to fix them. But Paul puts the emphasis on the right syllable. He basically tells us it doesn't matter. What you have in that mind of all these things that the devil is trying to show you that you're not good enough. All these times when you know, how many of you have that when you drive past a certain place here in town and you realize that it was there that you took somebody's parking spot and you know that you shouldn't have done that, or it was there that you mixed words with somebody, or you can even walk around the campus here, you know, walk around these two little blocks here and find those places where you realize that you probably have fallen short of the mark, and your mind goes there because somebody wants to keep convincing you that you are not good enough. But I am here this morning to tell you that you are. I mean, I can't say it any more bluntly than that. That when you have those things going through your mind, when you're saying, man, I know I did the things that I didn't want to do, and I did, and I fell short, but guess what? You're here. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it don't matter. You know, that whole thing, you know, if they don't mind, it don't matter. Saying, I heard that growing up. I think that's how we approach this. We look at this and to say that because of my relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I know that in my mind. I know that up here, that all of those times that I have fallen short, that I know that through His death and resurrection and my relationship with Him, that all of that is gone and forgiven. Now, that doesn't mean that you can always throw everything you do wrong on to that. I think we are called to be a better people. I think we are called that through our relationship with Jesus Christ, that we are to be a better person. Because you see, when you know that your sins have been forgiven, that things that you have done wrong have been forgotten and that they don't matter, you are called to go and tell others that fact as well. Because if you know your sins have been forgiven, then their sins have been forgiven as well. And we are called to be the hands and feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can't assume that they know. We have to assume that they don't and go share that with them. How awesome would it be if we spent a lot of time going up to people going, man, God loves you and He's forgiven you. And guess what? I've forgiven you too and I don't care. I'm just looking over here. I'm not picking on you. I'm just looking at you, you know. Yeah, it bothers me. This is one of those things that goes through my mind when I'm given an example and I look somebody in the eye, they're like, what'd I do? But I'm telling you that I'm just looking random places. I like to bounce my eyes around the congregation. I do think that I favor one side over the other. I think it's probably more this side, but it has nothing to do with y'all ain't any different from over here. You see, I'm kind of like Paul, man. You know, if I had a scribe dictating this sermon, boy, would it be fun. But we're recording it. It's going to be on the radio next week. But I want you to think about it. I want you to remember that you are called to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the law that Christ gave us. You know in your mind that you should do that law. Your flesh doesn't want you to do that law. It's going to fight with you all the time to prevent you from doing that law. But guess what? You have to put your mind over that matter. And you have to say, I know that this is what I am called to do. And regardless of what my flesh tells me, I am going to go do it. Because I guarantee you, because I've seen it in my own life, I wouldn't be telling you you could go do this if I haven't been doing it myself. That when you go and do this, when you let that knowledge that dictate your actions, when you let the law that Jesus Christ gave us call your steps and call your shots, and you go out there and love your neighbor as yourself, I guarantee you that fruit will come from that. Things will grow. Wonders will be seen. Everything will be done that Christ said would be done if you just start right at the basics and start following the law that He gave us. It's that simple. You think we can do that? So when we go out into the world through this week, let that knowledge of that law that Christ gave us, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, dictate everything that you do, and don't let the flesh win the battle. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ooh, I love this hymn. Good hymn, number 638. I need thee every hour. Let us rise and sing. Y'all may be seated.